Prime Time replay from Money FM 89.3.
First Things First, hosted by Howie Lim and Bernard Lim.
Thanks for staying with us on Money FM 89.3. Now, almost 30% of workplace injuries in Singapore over the past 4 years have been results of slips, trips and falls, or STF, with more than 3,000 employees affected annually during that period. In addition, there were over 1,800 STF-related injuries in the first half of 2019, up around 6% from over 1,700 cases in the same period last year.
And these were the statistics revealed by Minister of State for Manpower and National Development, Mr. Zaki Mohamad, at the Workplace Safety and Health Forum on Kitchen Safety last month. Jason Hammond, CEO of QB Asia and Singapore, joins us today to share what can be done. Just last week, the Ministry of Manpower slapped a record $140,000 fine on a transport firm owner for causing the death of a worker, and it's highest ever imposed on an individual under the Workplace Safety and Health Act. How can private and public sectors work together, Jason, to minimize fluctuations on the incidence rate of workplace fatalities or injuries?
Thanks for having me. It's important to note, actually, when you look at the improvements made in work health and safe, particularly in relation to the frequency of deaths in the workplace in Singapore over the last 10 years, the frequency of deaths in the workplace 10 years ago was just under 5 per 100,000 employees in Singapore, and right now it's just below 2, 1.9. So it's actually improved quite dramatically over that period. Mm-hmm. But of course, I think everybody would realise that any death in the workplace is a terrible thing to happen. It has lots of impacts just outside of the workplace. It impacts people's families, it impacts work colleagues, it impacts the community. So lots more needs to be done. Any death in the workplace is not good. And so there's all stakeholders that are a part of the workplace have got a role to play. Everybody from government have got a role to play in terms of raising awareness of workplace health and safety. They've got a role to play in terms of conducting audits on workplaces, particularly workplaces which have got a history of poor experience. And then employers themselves have got a role to play in making sure that the workplaces they provide for and their employees are safe and enable limited harm. And then workers themselves have also got a role to play.
What can we do, though, Jason? Just be careful, right? Really is what your mom would tell you every time you left the house.
Yes.
What else more, though?
Yeah, so I think that technology is playing its part in terms of improving workplace health and safety. There is a couple of examples with the Housing Board at the moment where they are using technology to help to improve the workplace itself. They are using drones, for example, piloting drones to help conduct inspections in the on building facades. There's also video technology that's being used to alert supervisors of where risks are occurring. So, you know, surveillance technology are being used on workplaces to flag when people are underneath cranes, for instance. They are using this technology to flag when people are on unsupported roofs, sending text messages to workplace supervisors, flagging the risk so that action can be taken. The reality is, though, that the workplace safety environment is the responsibility of everybody.
Yeah.
Governments, employers, workers themselves, and in fact the insurance industry has got a role to play.
Mm.
If I reflect on my own organisation, we support organisations by gaining accreditation in work health and safety, so the raising the awareness by encouraging them to be BizSafe accredited, and also reflecting in the insurance premiums that are paid, the claims experience that an employer might have. All of those are carrots, if you like, to encourage people to think more actively about improving workplace health and safety and preventing workplace injuries.
It's also not all doom and gloom, right, Jason? The decrease in the occupational disease incident rate shows optimism in reaching the total workplace safety and health goals by 2028. Maybe you can give us more details.
Yeah, so I think the occupational disease, a bit like the frequency of deaths in the workplace, has improved dramatically over the last 18 months. It's improved from just under 20 incidents per 100,000 workers down just over 15. 16 incidents per 100,000 workers. So it's quite an impressive improvement in a relatively short period of time. But the reality is that some of that might be gained from a relatively low-lying fruit. And to continue to improve the frequency of occupational disease in the workplace will require ongoing focus. And unlike frank injuries, occupational disease is a little bit harder to see. And workplaces that do expose their workers to things that cause occupational disease require awareness of those causes so that they can take action to ensure that those diseases don't embed themselves in the workplace and don't occur.
Are they more insidious than, say, hazardous material, which would be the most obvious thing that comes to mind?
So hazardous material, obviously, can be a cause of workplace disease. And making sure that that hazardous material is treated sensitively in the workplace. Sometimes we can't avoid having those materials in the workplace, but the way that they are treated is important in terms of ensuring that that occupational disease doesn't take hold in the workplace. Mm-hmm. And the reality is they are generally gradual onset. So unlike a slip or a trip or a fall where you know that it's happened immediately.
The consequence is not... Immediately.
Should companies be dedicating more resources to new and inexperienced workers who face a higher risk of injuries and to help them adapt to the work environments?
Absolutely. If I think about new employees and young employees, they just don't have the workplace awareness that more mature workers would have around the workplace. So things that more mature workers would just accept as commonplace, new people don't have the experience to understand that. So educating new and young workers around the risks associated with workplace is absolutely critical. So investing in the right kinds of induction to get people aware of the risks that are around them and aware of the way that they should be behaving in the workplace is critical. In fact, there's technology being used today to help to train people around the risks that might occur in a workplace. So there's virtual reality technology where people can experience the risks in the workplace through virtual reality technology. So it's not one-dimensional now. It's becoming far more technologically advanced and experiential in terms of their understanding of the things that might impact them in the workplace so we can improve their knowledge quickly.
Dare I add, though, anecdotally, what if you're staring at your phone too much, looking at the virtual reality, not looking where you're going, and you fall into a pothole?
Okay, that's true. Yeah.
Earlier this month, though, Jason, Labour MP Melvin Yong from Tanjung Pagar GRC said mental health issues arising from the workplace should maybe be included in the list of occupational diseases covered under the Work Injury Compensation Act. Why do you think, though, mental issues or health is a missing element in that paradigm? What maybe can be done to change it?
Yeah, that's a really interesting one. And I think workers' compensation and occupational health and safety regulators around the globe battle with this one. There is already mental health claims allowed in the current legislation, but it's very seldomly used and it's generally related to PTSD, so post-traumatic stress disorders. So I think there's only been three in the last 5 years, so very infrequent. The challenge with mental health is that unlike slips and trips and falls where...
Again, obvious.
You might see, excuse the pun, but a blood on the floor type injury. Mental health is invisible. It's hard to define. And the cause of it is also hard to point to. Is it caused by things that happen at home or is it caused by things that happen outside of the workplace? So I think the challenge with this will be to really clearly define what mental health in the workplace means so that, you know, we can avoid things that might have happened in other jurisdictions where claims relating to mental health do get out of control because of that, you know, grayness between what might happen in the workplace and what might happen outside.
Complicated web to unfold, because what if Bernard is just a generally grumpy person? Hard to define, right,
that's
Jason?
That's true. Well, what about the issue of coverage for self-employed people, Jason? How do we educate workers, especially the low-wage foreign workers, about their rights to compensation, etc.?
Yeah. Oh, I might separate that into two questions. So the small employers, self-employed employers, we've generally found is that they tend to focus all of their time and energy on running their business, and occupational health and safety is a long way down their list of priorities. And trying to get that up their list of priorities is a challenge. But if you think about it, if they happen to be injured in the workplace, their means of business is significantly undermined. So it makes sense to raise awareness with self-employed people around occupational health and safety, but the challenge is getting to them and making sure that it is a priority over and above mm-hmm. other things that might be important to them. And in terms of foreign workers and lower paid workers, again, you know, the real question is, how do you get to those folk? And the real answer is using the employer as the means to get to those injured workers. I noticed in Singapore, lots of the large construction sites now will have the frequency of injury reported on the billboards in front of their construction sites. So clearly there is an increasing awareness of occupational health and safety. So it's there, and employers are interested in making sure that their mm-hmm. employees are aware of it. But I think it's just leveraging the mechanisms that are already in place to get messages to those kinds of workers to make sure that they're aware of their rights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. From an insurer's perspective, though, Jason, how can they play a role in, say, incentivising firms towards safer practice? I mean, let's not always use legislation and fines to sort of threaten organisations to keep an eye on their people and keeping them safe.
Yeah. So I think like most things, there's a balance between the carrot and the stick, and I think there is stick around the carrots that we can provide. So we do support our customers with in terms of the accreditation towards a BizSafe accreditation. So if they can demonstrate that they have reached a certain level of BizSafe accreditation, we will offer a discount to their premium. We will also discount their premium based on their claims experience. So a good claims experience will drive a lower premium. So there is carrot in terms of improving workplace health and safety and demonstrating that through a lower frequency of claim and a lower cost of claim.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jason, workers' compensation is a complex and a very sensitive area of insurance, demanding expert service provision, I'm sure. How can QBE help to negotiate this complex area of risk and give both the employer and employee greater security for the future?
Yeah, it's a good question, and it is hard to try and, you know, get employers interested enough in workers' compensation and occupational health and safety. And I think what we will do is flag for them the upside benefits in terms of investing and raising awareness, and also the downside risk of not investing and not being aware having a claim frequency which is out of the norm. So I think education plays a critical part, and also we will support our customers in terms of workplace health and safety inspections, so that employers who might not be that aware of their own risks are supported by professionals to understand what their exposures are, and then they can take action to close those exposures down.
Jason Hammond is CEO of QBE Asia and Singapore. Jason, thanks for joining us today.
Pleasure. Thank you for having me.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.